fellowship, the accommodations and everything. It's just good seeing a lot of folks. And I told somebody, I said, where's that Ernie? I wanted him to call him today and tell him to be here. Amen. Good to see him. And Lord have mercy. The word of the Lord last night was rich and good and timely. And today, for it's been weeks, always is over the top. And he's also one of my favorite singers. And he didn't even get to sing today. But I'll put in my request. I'd like to hear Brother Weeks sing and preach tomorrow. Brother Gross is one of the premier Bible teachers in this day that we're living in. And thank God for his input in our life. I got to thinking about 25 years ago, you'd have never dreamed in a million years you'd have been here pastoring. And in the LVR, and Brother Gross was preaching meetings out there somewhere. And was just trying to find our way. And here we're all here together tonight. Amen. Even Brother Featherstone. Praise God. And so good to see so many people. Brother Albiar, of course, good to be here with my recording artist. Now he records the oldies and goldies. And then I record the new stuff that hasn't been proven yet. So you need to buy his because they've been proven, and you need to buy mine so they can be proven. Praise God. Amen. And so, Lord bless all you good folks, brother-in-law, sister-in-law. Brother Epley, I think, calls us sometimes cousin-in-law, or whatever it is. But, Lord, have mercy. I am trying to feel after the mind of God. And Matthew chapter 16, look into the Word of the Lord. Some glasses. Good to see a good crowd here tonight. Appreciate my wife and my girls being here with me. And it's 1,000 miles from here to home. So we've been taking a little drive around the country. Some of the roads have been improved since 25 years ago. Thank the Lord for that. And God bless you in Jesus' name. Matthew 16 and 18, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Romans 1 and 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Ephesians 4 and 4 said, there is one body, one spirit. You're called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. I'd like to preach for a few minutes tonight by the help of the Lord. Let the church be the church. Amen. Let's lift our hands and ask God to help us here today. In the name of the Lord. Oh, let's lift our voices. Oh, in the name of the Lord. Why don't every hand be raised to the King? Every hand in the building, in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Glory, 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 glory. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Scripture declares that there is one church. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The Bible said there is one body. The church is one because there's one God, there's one church. God don't have 5, 10, 20, 500 different churches. The church that God's church is where His name is. It's where His authority is. It's where His power is. It's where He goes to church. Brother Evans used to say, if God ain't there, I don't want to be there. I wouldn't want to go to a church where God was not at. The church is God's witness in the earth. The church is a spiritual force that is superior to all other bodies and entities. The church is the people that God calls His bride. It wasn't good for man to be alone before the foundation of the world, and God planned to die and to raise Himself up and put Himself in a people. The church was the reason for Bethlehem. The church was the reason for Calvary. The church is not a fad, but it's a force. It's a spiritual authority and power in the earth. The devil's greatest enemy is the church. And the devil loathes the fact that he cannot destroy the church. Because the church is God's plan, it's God's purpose, it's God's desire, it's God's bride. Hell has an agenda. And the agenda of hell is to change the church. Times change, but truth never does. We got to make sure we don't get it mixed up. It seems to me that the only people who want to change the gospel are those who are unchanged by it. Praise the great name of the Lord. Jesus is the only man that ever made a will and died and rose again to make sure that it was carried out. I want to tell you that if he could change, if the devil could change the church, he could destroy it. But the scripture says in Ephesians, as far above all principality and power, that he has put all things under his feet. The truth, the church is the fullness of him. The church makes him fulfilled. It makes him complete. And then Colossians 2 and 10 says that you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. When one is in Christ, when one is in the church, we are in something that is much bigger than we are. We are in something that is above all things. We sing about the old ship of Zion and this ship that is carrying us over through dark and deep and dangerous waters. But the church is truly an unsinkable vessel. One cannot be saved outside the church. Those that get lost are those who set themselves against the church. Those who refuse to stay in the ship, those who refuse the church's authority, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The headquarters is not in Tallahassee or St. Louis or Sacramento or Rome or Paris. The headquarters of the church is in heaven. Amen. The New Jerusalem. Oh, praise the Lord. You can't make it unless you are under the authority of the church. Now, it dawned on me here a while back and came, seemed like clear to me in the spirit, that is the real issue. So a lot of times we talk about different issues. But the issue is really not modest dress. It's really not hair. It's really not all these things of Hollywood and all the things that we talk about, but it is that's just a symptom of the problem. The real issue is the problem with authority. Well, praise the Lord. Thank God for the authority of the church. Thank God for the authority of the church. While it is impossible to be saved outside of the church, it is impossible to be lost if you're in the church and stay under the authority and obedient to the authority of Jesus Christ. Oh, I like that part. When that door was shut and it put 8 people in the ark, there was a lot shut out, but there was 8 that was shut in. I'm not looking to be on the outside, but I want God to shut me in. I want to be on the inside. I come to tell somebody life is in the church. That's the only place life is. Real life is in the church. Jesus is in His church. Life is here. Healing is here. Strength is here. The power of God is here. The glory is here. The Word is here. The anointing to destroy yokes. And the healing virtue to heal bodies. It's in the church. It's in the church. Everybody say, the church. Oh, praise God. Satan hates the body because the body died and rose again and slipped out of his grip. And death was the chain, but life broke death's chain. Even in death, there's life. Even in sickness, there's healing. Even in affliction, there's deliverance. And in battles, there is victory. You just can't lose in the church. It's built upon a rock. It's built upon the revelation. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I like what verse 42 said of Acts 2 said, and they all continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There is a witness in the earth, and it's the church. There's a truth. There's a spirit. There's a life. There's a power. That's why I hate a backsliding spirit. A backing up spirit. Because a backing up spirit, a backsliding spirit, a backing away is a false witness. Every backslider that is in your town, in your community, is a witness against the church. It is a false witness. It's a lying witness because they look at them and say, oh, the church wasn't what I thought it was. The church wasn't powerful enough to keep them. Don't you ever say that the power of the church wasn't able to keep you, because that's a lie. It'd be one thing to be backslid, but don't start lying about it. You backslide, you just say, it was me. I'm the problem. The church is not the problem. Oh, I say, let the church be the church. Let the church be what it was supposed to be. And since it's been from AD 33, the church was before the Catholic Church. The church was before the Baptist Church. The church was before the Presbyterian Church. It was before John Smith. It was before Azusa Street. It was before. Amen. Azusa Street did not birth the church. Oh, thank God for the church that He purchased with His own blood. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power. I want to tell somebody tonight that the church is still got the power to change lives. But the devil don't want you to know it. Backsliding spirit is a false witness. Says the church is not powerful enough to keep you in this ungodly world. But God put the church in the world. And the devil tries to put the world in the church. And if he ever succeeds at putting the world and Hollywood. If he ever gets to the place that watching movies in your house or on your phone or anywhere else is normal, it ceases to be the church. If there's ever wholesale women cut hair with cut hair on the platform, it ceased to be the church. Amen. If it's the normal that women wear the same attire as men, it has ceased to be the church. Lord, let us be the church, not just a people's club. Are you in a church or a people's club? Well, the church is not very, it's not very PC. It's not very, you know, no. But God's church, Lord have mercy, the Laodiceans. They went through all the churches and they come down to the church of the Laodiceans and he said to the church of Ephesus, of Sardis, and all down, and then said to the church of the Laodiceans that the church had become the people's church. It was no longer God's church. That's why he was on the outside knocking. Amen. He was on the outside knocking to see. Yeah, God was, he was close, but he was on the outside. I remember Sister McDonald years ago when she was just a young girl coming into the church. And she was a Catholic girl and knew nothing about truth. And she was hungry for God and had a bad situation going on, alcoholic husband and so forth. And she went and prayed at the Catholic church in downtown Cincinnati. She went down there and prayed. And she heard God speak to her in the Catholic church. And you know what God said? I am not here. But you know what? He was there enough to visit a hungry heart and say, come on out of here. Come on out. God shows up in bar rooms. God shows up in Laodicean churches and Baptist churches and all kind of churches to say, tap them on the shoulder and say, come on. This is not where it's at. Hey, let the church be the church. The devil's a liar and the word of God is true. And the church is still the church. Oh, church makes us. The church makes us. My church said it's really done good since I've been here. No, you don't make the church. The church made you. And if you're a saint, the church has transformed you. The church must change us. There must be a transformation. And woe be unto us if we try to change what God has ordained and set in order and has been doing well for several thousand years. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands to Him. In the name of Jesus. I don't want to change it. Glory, 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 glory. The only gospel that has the power to rebirth people. Paul said in Galatians, he said, do I try to persuade men or God? Am I trying to change God's opinion? Or am I trying to change men? The church changes people. But what false preachers do, they're trying to change God's mind. Well, I feel this. Well, it's not about what you feel. You got to let the church change you. Amen. Oh, yes, 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 yes. And you better hope that you never are able to change your preacher. Because if you do, it will cease to be the church. Now, I'm not worried about the church at large, but there are whole congregations and whole organizations of people that change. Amen. If God ever told you to take off jewelry, He didn't ever tell you to put it back on. He never told it. It wasn't him that changed. If you ever had some old time convictions in your heart, it wasn't God that changed. It was some voice or influence in your life that caused you to change. You better be careful who you listen to. There's a bunch of voices. Oh, hallelujah. Let's give truth a hand clap of praise. Let the truth still go forth from Racine like it always has. Praise God. You can go to any church you want to, but if it's not apostolic certified, it has to have apostolic certification. And if it's not under the authority of a Holy Ghost anointed man of God, it's not certified. A Holy Ghost man has a certification that whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound, and whatever you loose on earth is going to be loose. Praise the Lord. It ain't as simple as going to another church. There's one gospel, one name, one way, one church, one God, one faith, one baptism. And there's a way that seems right. I say seems right. But the end thereof, it don't end up at the right place. Don't end up very good. Don't end up. America is made of immigrants. And hundreds of years they have come from countries afar and leaving deplorable conditions, and they come for a new life, a new start, and a better future for them and their children. Even today, the people that are coming, the millions that are here in our country now that's undocumented and illegal. You talk to them, got some of them in my church, and they've got some heart-wrenching stories about what it took for them to get here. Because they had a desire. Many of them, their families worked for years to pool the money together enough to get a ticket, to get them a person to help them across the border. And they said, I just want a future for my family, I want better for my children and grandchildren. That's what I want. That ought to sound familiar to you spiritually. The reason you've come to this house tonight, it ought to be for a reason. You may not be certified. You may not have your green card yet in the Holy Ghost. You may not. But there ought to be a desire in your heart that says, I want something better for my family. I see the marriages that are breaking up. I see the destruction on every side. I want something better for my children and my grandchildren. I may have to struggle my whole life with this change. He said, when they come, most of them, when they come, I was dealing with one just the other day, and it's like when he gets here and he hears about the American dream and all the things that are how America is, and he said, I get here and I say, oh my God, why did I ever come here? It's so, what do I do? Where do I start? It's just to try to really get established and to get legal and to get it's a big deal, and most of them never do it. Praise the Lord. It's a big deal to be established in the church. It's a big deal that this church has been preaching truth for 58 years. It's a big deal. If they're still hollering Acts 2:38 and hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and going to pray for the sick here after a while like the old elder would love to do. Well, praise the Lord. It's a big deal to be established and to die in the faith. Praise God. I'm glad that the elder, I salute you, elder. Amen. He died what he preached. And he died what he believed. Amen. God, give us the grace to die in the faith. If you preach it, you better die it. Praise the Lord. If God ever put convictions in your heart, you'd better die with it in your heart. And if you bypass them somewhere, you better go back and pick them up. Oh, Apostle Paul was on his way to Damascus and God knocked him down in the earth. But then I read over in Timothy, he said, after many, many years later, he said, I fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge is going to give me at that day. I'm going to tell you, you know what he was saying? He was saying, God, they're fixing to come and get me. They're going to put my head on the chop block. But I want you to know what you gave me and the revelation you gave me on the road to Damascus. I want you to know I still got it. I've kept the faith. I still got what you put in me 30 years ago. I still got what you put in me 50 years. Have you still got it? You better die with it. Because if you don't die with what God put in your heart, you're going to die lost. Oh, let's lift their hands to heaven. In the name of the Lord. My soul has no pleasure in them that draw back. Praise God. My soul has no pleasure in them that draw back. My soul has no pleasure in them that draw back. Don't start trying to change the church. Don't start trying to change. Oh, I remember Brother Blakely, we got in there. Several million dollar church and 7 years of tribulation. Brother Blakely told me, he said, Brother Lawhorn, don't you forget what got you there. And I've thought about that so many times. You look out and you see what's going on and you see an old spirit that would like to settle in. Folks that would like to come from the town because it's kind of, you know, a little uptown. And some folks that would like to just come in and kind of sit. Just kind of be Sunday morning saints. And call this their church. But when you let too many of them sit too long, it starts to change the atmosphere of the church. And apostolic is not just a doctrine. It's an atmosphere. A friend of mine was telling about some Pentecostal church in Columbus, Ohio. They said there was a bunch of homosexuals that come in on the back row. And they come in every Sunday. And somebody was working with some of his folks. It was in a real church. And they said, well, does the pastor say anything to them? They kind of sat back there and kind of snickered. And you know what person that went to the church said, oh no, our pastor would never say anything about that. You ought to find you a real preacher. Because when that atmosphere, we don't need no perverts on a platform or on the pew, either one. There ain't no room for no homosexuals in the house of God. You don't have to be a certified queer. You can just act like one. That's enough for me. Any preacher that would leave that untouched is not God's man. It's a spirit that's rising up in this generation with its fist in the face of God. And any preacher that don't challenge it, it will change the atmosphere of the church. Well, I didn't have nothing in my notes about that, but it's all right anyhow. Praise the Lord. If you don't believe that, y'all pray through. Amen, amen, amen. Somebody give Jesus a hand clap of praise. Muslims. They got places in America that is like off limits. Sharia law, and they got their own courts and their own deal, and the police are not even allowed to go in them areas. In defiance of the Constitution, setting up a little camp in a place called the United States. Got their schools where they teach their children. Right in Bible Belt, in our area, schools where hundreds of them, they're taught to hate America. Praise the name. I'd like to tell every Muslim and tell every backsliding spirit the same thing. You either love America or get out. Either love it or leave it. Don't you start trying to mess with it. Don't start trying to change it. If you don't like it, what you doing here? Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Woo! It's hard for me to preach without inserting a little bit of evidence. He's gone, so I have to keep it alive. But he said one time, Brother Lauren, he said, you know, if we had somebody smoking in our church, you'd just keep on preaching about smoking until they either got it right or, you know, something happened. If you had somebody drinking a little bit, you'd just keep on preaching about drinking until something happened, you know. He said, we wouldn't tolerate one fornicator or one smoker or one drinker. We'd just keep on preaching something. He said, why do we tolerate one non-worshipper? Oh, praise the Lord. Let there be something in there. I know all of us can't do the same things because of physical limitations, but let there be every heart. I wish every heart in here tonight could reach out and say, God, I want to connect with the old past. I want to connect with the church like it's supposed to be. Let the church stay the church, and I don't want to try to change it. I want to connect with the church. If the church can't change people, it has lost its purpose. It seems like that America has lost the ability to turn immigrants into patriotic U.S. citizens. Praise the Lord. And when the church, your church, my church, any organization, amen, gets to the place that you can't take, Brother Reagan, an old sinner, right out of the, give me one of you fellows over here, that's the world over there, and this is the church, and to come right out of the world and bring them. How far are you going to be happy if they just come? Now, that's a full certified saint. That's from the world. Oh, we're so glad you're here. Just sit down and make yourself comfortable. I mean, you're only smoking one pack. You were smoking two packs. God bless you. You can't be, if the church can't change and take an old dope head and make a Holy Ghost preacher out of them. If the church can't take a sinner and make a saint. If the church can't take an old drunkard or somebody fresh out of prison and make them a Holy Ghost saint. Somebody that hated authority and they bring them and you can't get them to where they almost kiss the preacher's feet. They love him so much. If you can't get that transition, there's something wrong with the church. Amen, amen. I say let Racine be the church. Let the church, when we come back another year, let there be 50 brand new converts that's come from the world. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I asked Sister Westberg one time about Brother Westberg. She said the church loved him and the city hated him. I'm going to tell you something, young man, starting a church or wherever you want to. You're not going to build a church in this day and be Mr. Nice Guy. You're not going to build no apostolic church and be a nice guy. All right, I just thought I'd throw that in. Some of you don't believe it, but yeah, I tell you what you do. You go get your 250 or 300 people out of the world, make saints out of them, and come back and tell me how you did it. Praise God. You won't do it but being Mr. Nice Guy. Praise the Lord. You'll do it by preaching the hide off of them. Oh, yes, you will. If you don't, you won't have an apostolic church. There have been many times in my mind, back in my office, I come out and I say, this is going to be it. I'm glad we got 200, 250 people, whatever. This is going to be it. Man, tonight, she's going to all be over. They're going to all leave tonight. In my mind, I had to conquer that battle. And I walked to the pulpit anyway and said, I'm going to preach what God gives me to preach if everybody leaves. And you know what? Beside everybody leaving, sometimes one or two might have left, but five or six more show up and takes their place. Because, oh, there ain't nothing like the church. Let the church be the church. Let the church be the church. If fasting and praying and preaching is not in the DNA of the move, it's a fake, phony, charismatic spirit. The real church ain't about making you feel good. It's about making you good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. When the church loses the ability to turn sinners to saints, we cease to be the church. That's why I have to go and start making some difference on some little tedium so I can justify myself by taking folks from somewhere else. Because we don't have enough power to convert sinners. So we have to try to get some from somewhere else. Praise the Lord. The scripture still says, go and make disciples. And if we can't do that, praise God. We're not, if the church is not changing people, amen, it's not the church any longer. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank God for the Word of God. It's our constitution. They come to America looking for the American dream. How many come tonight? You remember the first time you came to that church? You're saying, I got to have something in my marriage. Got to have something to help raise my teenage children when they get to be teenagers. I'm going to have some. I mean, look at what the teenagers are out there in the world. I got to have some help. And you was dreaming about the children marrying right and having grandkids and enjoying them. Just dreaming about future generations. Oh, I hope somebody's dreaming tonight and said, I feel something in this house. It would be safety for my family. Safety for my children. Amen. Praise the Lord. Live the way He wants me to live. Let me dress like the church dresses. Let me live like the church lives. I want to talk like the church talks. I want to become what the church is. Amen. Somebody truly repents. It's in their heart. They start looking around, and within a week or two, they're looking like the church. if they truly repent, because they want to be like the church. If they've been there a year and still haven't changed their attire, they haven't repented. Praise the Lord. In the name of the Lord. And if you attack the symptoms, it'll just make them mad. Might as well attack the real problem. The real problem is a heart problem. They haven't repented yet. When somebody truly repents and say, they say, this is, they walk in here in our churches all the time, and this is common to what they say. I've never seen anything like this. I've never felt anything like this. There's something in this place. And if they say, I want it, then they look for somebody to follow. They look up in that pulpit and see a man of God. And they see a bunch of saints that's already living for God. And they join in the march toward heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands to Him in the name of Jesus. Oh, oh, I love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Lord. Amen. Let's stand. I'd like for every hand to be raised in here and say, God, if you ever perform miracles, you still do. If you ever change lives, if you ever deliver dope heads, if you ever took an old cusser that couldn't say 10 words without cussing and took and give them the Holy Ghost, then they never cussed again. Praise the Lord. Let the church be the church. Don't try to mess with the church. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, there's deliverance in the house. In the name of Jesus. There's deliverance in the house. In the name. I want every saint to lift your hands. And we're going to have Brother Epley's coming and going to do what they're going to do here. Ever how he wants to do it. There's healing and deliverance and help in the church. Amen. I'm loving the church more than I've ever loved the church before. Get in or get out. Love it, leave it. But don't start trying to mess with it. Say, preacher, preach to me. You just keep on preaching it. And somebody will keep on living it. Praise God. A man walked in a few nights ago and been around the world and successful. And he said, I'm on a quest trying to find God. I'm miserable. I've had everything in this world, but I'm miserable. It's not just the down and outers. Doctors, lawyers, and high-ups in society. They're in their multi-million-dollar mansions, but they're miserable. It's because they have never found a church. Let's be the church when they get here. Let's be what we're supposed to be. Praise God. Let's be what we're supposed to be so when they get here, amen, there's hope. In the name of the Lord. Feel the Holy Ghost working in the house tonight. Let's lift our hands to Him in Jesus' name. Everybody in the building, if you want some more of God, you want to get closer to God, reach toward Him tonight.
Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord.
We always dedicate this Thursday night for a healing service. You're an apostolic preacher. I'd like to come up here. Let's form a double line here. An apostolic preacher. All of you come. Let's form a double line here. We're going to give an opportunity for folks to come through here. The Bible said, and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. This church has been known all these years for faith and healing and miracles. 3 years ago, we was having this service. Brother Couch preached, and they brought a young lady from Diggins in a wheelchair. And God healed her. She got up out of that wheelchair. She came back to service the next night without the wheelchair. God gave her a miracle. There's all kind of needs in this house. If you can, why don't you try to make your way over to this far wall if you need a healing. And come down and let these brethren pray for you. If you need a healing, you need a miracle. Amen. And hallelujah. Want y'all to pray for little Claire Ann. They want to do a heart procedure on her. Maybe even open heart surgery. But I believe the Lord will confirm His word tonight and give her a miracle. If you need a healer, just make your way around here. Come in this press. Amen. God got all these men of God that's full of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Jesus' name.